Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Genesis 48. So I want to talk about raising generational visionaries. I had some other long name, but when I put it down on my notes for the title, I could hear my daughter saying, "That is a classic dad, Pastor Bracken, title of a message." So I FaceTimed her. I said, "What do you think of this?" And in fact, this was the original title: Kingdom Visionaries and Influencers Releasing Multi-Generational. We'll stop there. She said, "No, Dad, no." So we changed it, and so this is the cool name right here, apparently, Raising Generational Visionaries. Are you all there in Genesis 48? We'll stand and read the word here in just a moment. I am aware that none of us are self-made men or women, that we have been imparted to. Some of that impartation we need to be healed and delivered of. Others, impartation that is righteousness and truth and power of God. And I am very aware of my mortality. Somebody said to me just before service, "Well, you're about halfway." I thought, "What?" But I said, "I'm not 60 yet." They said, "No, but almost." I'm so grateful for the opportunity to preach to you the word of God tonight. Brace yourself. Stand up on your feet. Genesis chapter 48, reading from the New Living Translation. Are you ready? Genesis 48 and verse 1. One day not long after this, word came to Joseph, "Your father is failing rapidly." So Joseph went to visit his father, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Joseph arrived, Jacob, or Israel, it's the same person, was told, "Your son Joseph has come to see you." So Jacob gathered his strength, sat up in bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, 'I will make you fruitful and I will multiply your descendants. I will make you a multitude of nations. I will give this land of Canaan to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.'" As a what? "An everlasting possession. Now I'm claiming as my own sons these two boys of yours, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born here in the land of Egypt before I arrived. They will be my sons, just as Reuben and Simeon are, but any children born to you in the future will be your own. And they will inherit the land with territories of their brothers, Ephraim and Manasseh. Long ago, I was returning from Padan Aram, and Rachel died in the land of Canaan. We were still on the way, some distance from Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So with great sorrow, I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath. Then Jacob looked over the two boys. 'Are these your sons?' he asked. 'Yes,' Joseph told him. 'These are the sons God has given me here in Egypt.' And Jacob said, 'Bring them closer to me so I can bless them.' And Jacob was half blind because of his age. He could barely see. So Joseph brought the boys close to him, and Jacob kissed and embraced them. And Jacob said to Joseph, 'I never thought I would see your face again, but now God has let me see your children too.' Joseph moved the boys who were at their grandfather's knees, and he bowed his face to the ground. Then he positioned the boys in front of Jacob, and with his right hand, he directed Ephraim toward Jacob's left hand. And with his left hand, he put Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay hands on the boys' heads. He put his right hand on the hand of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and his left hand on the hand of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they persevere, pardon me, may they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth." But Joseph was upset because he saw that his father had placed his right hand on Ephraim's head. So Joseph lifted it to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Verse 18. "No, my father," he said, "this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused. "I know, my son, I know," he replied. "Manasseh will also become a great people, but his younger brother will become even greater, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations." So Jacob blessed the boys that day with his blessing. "The people of Israel will use your names when they give a blessing. They will say, 'May God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh.'" In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. And Jacob said to Joseph, "Look, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and will take you back to Canaan, the land of your ancestors, and beyond what I have given your brothers, I am giving you an extra portion of the land that I took from the Amorites with my sword and bow." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's profound, and it illuminates our hearts and minds tonight. We ask that you would give living understanding in the moments that remain in this service, that we would be greatly impacted by the truth of your word, that we, oh God, would see many generations follow after you, and that you would pour out your spirit, and indeed, may we be like Ephraim and Manasseh, prosperous and blessed beyond. May you show yourself strong on behalf of your people tonight. I pray, hide me behind your cross. Use these lips of clay and burn faith in the hearts of your people, all that will listen at a later time as well. We thank you and we praise you for it. If you have the freedom to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in your heavenly language. Ready, set, go. That. Give us insights, God, to change our lives. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated after you say hi to three or four people and say, "May you be like Ephraim and Manasseh." Go ahead, tell them, "Hey, may you be like Ephraim and Manasseh. May you be blessed like Ephraim." Go ahead, tell somebody around you, "May you be blessed like Ephraim and Manasseh." This text is going to give us some insights that'll change our lives. And we do have some notes. We'll move along into those. Undoubtedly, as I teach you, I'll end up preaching to you because I won't be able to help myself. Teaching is different than preaching. Teaching puts bones together, joint to joint, ligament to ligament. And preaching breathes breath into the whole thing. It is my favorite thing to teach and to preach out of the Old Testament, tying into New Testament revelation. God is a generational God. Everybody say that. God is a generational God. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And I'll never forget when he became my God. And I had those words ringing in my ear. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And I am your God." And something changed in me. Something will change in you when he becomes not just the God of your father and your mother and your grandparents, but he becomes yours. I'm talking to the kids right now. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of, put your name in there. God has an awesome plan for your life. Lots of scriptures about that. Jeremiah 29:11 is a favorite one of mine. Got that early on in my walk, never heard it before. Oh, God's got a plan for me, a hope for me, a future for me. Come on, say God's got a plan for me. So if God has a plan for you, do you think it's his plan to see it fulfilled? Do you think it's God's intention to see the plan brought to fruition? And the answer is emphatically yes. So God doesn't have a plan and not desire it to come about. So God's plan for you is to prosper you. God's plan is to bless you. God's plan is to fulfill his covenant decrees in your life, but not just in your life, in your family. You say, well, I'm single. Yeah. Spiritual family, perhaps. I've seen in families generational cursings and generational blessings. I have both that have operated in my life, no longer the curse. We've defeated that by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by loving our lives, not so much as to shrink from death. And I will say, it's an act of violence. If you're going to change, the break the curse off of your life, you're going to have to take hold of your mind and change it by the word of God. You're going to have to be conformed into his image. You got to build a life on his word with accountability. Can you hear me over on the right side? Can you hear me in the middle? How about over here on the left? It doesn't just happen because you came to church and you gave your life to Christ. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's good enough to go to heaven, but if you were supposed to just go to heaven, right after you would pray that, you would drop dead. So you're here. Most of you have given your life to Christ, and if you haven't, we'll give opportunity for that at some point in the service. So it's not just getting born again, it's being born again and being sanctified, being set apart, being redeemed, being cleansed, having your mind renewed, learning to think God's thoughts, learning to behave the way God wants you to behave, learning to control the members of your body, learning to speak life and life abundant, learning to declare the blessing of God instead of using your mouth to curse. Bitter water and sweet water ought not to come out of the same place, says James. A favorite scripture of mine is Genesis 18:19, which reads, "For I have known him," talking about Abraham, "in order that he command his children and his household after him, that he may keep the way of the Lord." I think every parent ought to turn to Genesis 18:19 and underline it and understand this is why you've been saved. God has a plan for you, but the plan for you is not for one generation. Like that stupid king, what was it, Hezekiah? Hezekiah fails miserably. I mean, at one point he did real well and he sought the Lord, but then later on he shows all of his kingdom to the enemy, and he gets this prophetic word and says, you never should have done that. And it says, now it's over for you, but not in your lifetime. In fact, listen to this, for the sake of your father David, it won't happen in your lifetime, but it is going to happen in your children and your grandchildren. And Hezekiah's like, thank God it's not in my lifetime. What kind of a moronic, demonized grandfather would say, thank God it's not in my lifetime? Somebody that's myopic in their view and so selfish and self-centered that it's just about them. That's what Hezekiah is. He's like, oh, thank God, I'm going to live. I don't have to put too bad for my kids. What a jerk. Come on, someone say, what a jerk. Yeah, and I've seen jerks in the church too. And I'm meaning to decapitate the jerk that tries to come on every one of us. You have to understand that it's more than just about your life. Don't plan just for your life. Plan for the lives that are come. And here, Genesis 18:19, now that you've turned there, for I've known him, talking of Abraham, that he may command his children and his household after him, listen closely, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord would bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. In other words, what God spoke to Abraham, what God spoke to Isaac, what God has spoken to me, what God has spoken to you is beyond your lifetime. And it actually involves your family. So I don't have kids. Well, you might have kids in the future, but even if you're single, it's more than just about your life. It's about the generations that are to come. And if we don't see a great turnaround in America, America's not going to exist. So God, listen, come on, meditate on that for a moment. So you've known me. Talking of Abraham, but you can apply it to yourself. So Lord, you've known me, yes. How come? So that you would teach your children.
Okay. Okay.
Teach them what? To do rightly, to learn justice, so that I can bring about what I've promised you, Daniel, what I've promised you, Micah, what I've promised you, Jonathan, what I've promised you, Brandon, so that he can bring about for you what he has promised you, because the promise is across the generations. Don't miss that. God wants future generations to be visionaries and dreamers and influencers. Look at this text. Jacob's dying. He's about 140 years old. He's been in Egypt 17 years for the note takers out there. Joseph visits Jacob, taking his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And they're not little boys. You know, what are you thinking? He brought his two boys. If you look at my phone, my son who turns 21 today, happy birthday, Daniel, if you're on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, son. 21 years old. He's in Atlanta, Georgia, most likely on right now. And in my phone, sorry, son, his phone is registered in my contacts as my boy. Now, he's no boy. He's a man. He's a strapping young man at that. But he's always going to be my boy. So they bring these boys. They're 20 plus years old. They're in their 20s. And you can figure that out by looking at previous texts and doing the math. And Jacob blesses Joseph's son. So he brings his two boys and blessing. You know, blessing is important. And Jacob reminds Joseph of all the promises that God gave him. He reminds Joseph that God made promises to him. And he refers to at Luz, at Bethel, that he had an encounter with God. We would do well to share our encounters with our kids, by the way. And I'll say this, if you have not had one, keep coming here, because you will have one. It is God's plan for you to have an encounter with him beyond some intellectual assent that understands that Jesus was crucified and resurrected, beyond just your natural understanding, that God will come in power and he will give you a visitation, and that visitation will mark you and will even drive you. You need to have a visitation from God. Your part of your life, my life, our lives should be unexplainable. Like how's that? I love when people ask me in the sauna, it happens frequently, how come, what brought you to Alaska? What a question that is. Did you think, well, you know, I moved up here for family? No, I didn't move up here for family, except for the family of God, of course. I moved up here for a job. I didn't move up here for any job either. I moved up here because God gave me and my wife a visitation. And that visitation was a clear call to come to Alaska. There's no doubt in my mind. Why else would you leave the Garden Isle of Kauai, one of the most beautiful places in the world, and come to the frozen north? First of all, wherever you go, where God calls you, it'll be the most beautiful place. And this is amazing here. You couldn't get me to move back. God, you could get me to move back to Hawaii. He says, I'm not doing that. Good, awesome. I'm here to fulfill a mandate. Visitation. And it's interesting that what's used, he uses the phrase El Shaddai. The phrase here is similar to that which is spoken to. In fact, some scholars say it's exactly the same as what was said to Abraham. Why would that be? Well, it's the same reason if you ask my son, what moved your mom and dad up here? What would he say? He'd say some rendition of, I am sending you to Alaska in the same way that there's a pipeline from the North Slope to Valdez. The golden oil of Zechariah will flow. I'm bringing revival. Go. You're supposed to be a part of it. He would say something along those lines. Why is that? Because he's heard it since he was basically 4 years old, and I've said it over and over and over. How do you think that Jacob knew about the promise that was given to Abraham? Abraham told him. His father, Abraham, Isaac, maybe Abraham told him, Isaac, his father told him. Are you sharing the promises with God that he's given you? Are you sharing those with your kids? I'm getting to application a little bit, but it's so very important that your kids understand what God has said to you about all the tribes of Alaska, about the calling and the purpose and the destiny and the reason that you're breathing. It's so very important to share that. And he uses really, and you can see this, Genesis 17:2, Genesis 17:6, Genesis 17:8. I believe that Abraham was careful to pass down the exact words of the covenant, as we need to be careful to do the same. The promises of God are the basis by which we pray. I stood on those promises concerning this property all those over the years, and so did hundreds of you, and that's why we're here. He talks about the fruitfulness everywhere that he went, that it would be fruitful. He was fruitful in Laban's house. He was fruitful everywhere he went. A picture of the covenant, that he would, the multiplication of people, that it would multiply over and over, the promise to Abraham, the promise to Isaac, the promise to Jacob. This multiplication takes place. It's be. And it become a community of people, says the NIV. I like that a little better than the New Living Translation. But he become a community of people. He become a great nation. Are you all with me in the blanks? I see faithfulness right there. I'm waiting for it to move. I have. Did you all know that the screen back there, what do they call that? A confidence screen, which I don't need, but I need to make sure you're filling the blanks in. You know why? Because the Lord spoke to me that this message, if you'll take it and you'll make it yours, you share it with others, it'll make a big difference. He reminds Joseph that God made promises, and there you go. What's the next one? Multiplication of family. Thank you. And that's what happens. There's this multiplication of family. Appreciate your media team. You do a great job. And that Canaan's land would be an everlasting possession. Canaan's land would be an everlasting possession. Now that's profound to me because they're arguing over that tonight. They're saying the Jews shouldn't be in Israel. There should be no Israel. It's the same thousands of year old argument, but it was promised to them by God. That land belongs to God's people, Israel. And he was reminding Joseph and his son that he was blessed. See, what he's doing is he's saying, man, God did this for Abraham. God did this for my dad, Isaac. God has done this for me. Get the picture. Two boys standing there, 20-something years old, standing there. He's telling the boys, this is what has happened. In other words, he's setting it up. So what he's saying is, when I now about to reach my hands out and lay hands on your head, there's about to be a serious transference of the blessing, the covenant blessing of the people of God is about to be passed on. Profound. It's profound. And you can miss it. Transference is real. It's interesting that as he sets this up, he adopts Joseph's sons as his own. And some scholars believe that Reuben and Simeon were basically disqualified from their positions because of the horrible sin of Genesis 34. How many of you know that story? We preached through these chapters before. They were disqualified positions of status and leadership in Israel's family, Jacob's family, because of that sin. They should be mine. It's this adoption. And I never understood that when I read that. And then when I began to study this first number of years ago, in fact, 6 years ago, and then tonight as God gave me this word, I began to understand. It's a beautiful picture of us as Gentiles being adopted, but more than that, because they're not Gentiles, although they're half Gentile. It's a beautiful picture of adoption and what God can do. And these 12 tribes of Israel. It's profound. Now, because of their adoption, there's actually 13 sons of Israel now. 12 were born, but Joseph was divided into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. 12's an important number. Now, I'm going to read this. Comes right out of a commentary, but it's so profound. 12 is a number often associated with government or administration in God's eyes. Listen, there's 12 tribes, 12 apostles, 12 princes of Ishmael, 12 pillars of Moses' altar, 12 stones on the high priest's breastplate, 12 cakes of showbread, 12 silver platters, 12 silver bowls and gold pans in the service of the tabernacle, 12 spies went in to search out the land, 12 memorial stones, 12 governors under Solomon, 12 stones at Elijah's altar, 12 is in each group of musicians and singers for Israel's worship, 12 hours in a day, 12 months in a year. 12 were the Ephesian men who Paul meets in Acts 19 and says, have you received the Spirit since you first believed? 12, everybody say 12. 12 tribes sealed and preserved through the tribulation, 12 gates, 12 pearls in heaven, 12 angels at the gates, 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem, each with names of the 12 apostles. In its length, breadth, and height, there are 12,000 furlongs. In the tree of life in heaven, guess how many fruit? 12 fruits of the tree of life. The number 12 is an important number. And he formally blesses them, right back in your notes. He formally blesses them. I am about to perform the wedding of my daughter Hannah, marrying the finest young man that there is. And I say that with confidence. I went to go to the university that he works. He was working for the president of Evangel University. When I met the president of Evangel University, he shakes my hand. He says, it's good to meet you, Pastor Bracken. And by the way, if I had a daughter, I would want her to marry him. What kind of an introduction is that? I was just like, praise the Lord. He was the assistant to the president, and he's a fine young man. And at some point in that ceremony, there will be, who gives this woman to be this man's wife? It's part of the ceremony, and it really goes all the way back to the garden, but that is what's happening here. It's not that he's blind. It's not that Jacob doesn't understand. He's saying, whose boys are these? It's a big deal. It's this covenant moment of transference of the blessing of God, and it's profound. Formally bless him. Whose are these? Wow. Joseph sets the stage for the blessing. Again, Jacob or Israel. How many of you know that's synonymous? He was Jacob, which means supplanter or deceiver. He wrestled with God, got touched in the hip, got a name change, and is changed from deceiver to prince. He's a prince of God, which is a beautiful picture of being born again. You could be a deceiver, and you give your heart to Jesus, he'll make you a prince. Can somebody say amen? And Joseph puts Manasseh on the right and Ephraim on his left, because the right hand is a picture of authority and power in Scripture. And there's so many scriptures to back that. But Jacob, or Israel, he's the same person, puts his right hand, he switches his hand. It's a prophetic moment where he's about to lay hands on the oldest on his right hand, the youngest on his left, and instead he switches his hands. The right hand is associated with God's strength, Exodus 15, 6, associated with favor, Psalm 16, verse 11, associated with help, the right hand of God, Psalm 20 and verse 6. And this is why it's also described that Jesus, guess where he's sitting? At the right hand of God the Father, Mark 14. The right hand is a picture of blessing, picture of authority. And so he begins to bless him. And Jacob's father and grandfather had obeyed God. He talks about that. Talks about how Abraham had obeyed God, walked with God. To walk with God is to obey God. I'm teaching you. To walk with God is to obey him. That's what that means. And Jacob shifts the emphasis from God to who has been his shepherd and deliverer, verse 15. It says, and he blessed Joseph and he said, God Before my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all of my life. That's profound. Let me stop. That phrase, he fed me, is a beautiful picture of complete dependence. It wasn't like I did it because I was able to do it. I did it, no, you didn't do it your way. He fed you, he carried you. He carried you like a lamb in his arms. That's the picture. It's this picture of complete communion and a picture of complete dependence like we should all have. God who has fed me all my life long to this day. Oh, God, you've fed me all life long, all my life long to this day. Come on, would you just thank him right now for all he's done in your life to this point? And he's going to do so much more. Thank you, God. Thank you. And the angel who's redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named among them, upon them. And let the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth, says one version. This concept of walking with God is to obey God. And this shifting and acknowledging of God is so profound. You know, verse 16 is to say, let them not succeed their father in power and grandeur here in Egypt. He's saying, let them succeed in the inheritance and the promise of Abraham, but let these boys not get tied up into the wealth of Egypt. Let them not get soiled in that. Let them not get caught into that, because their home is the promised land. It's Canaan's land. It's not here. Goes on to say, see, may they be honored. This is the blessing that's spoken over these two boys. May they increase greatly. He gives them his personal property in Canaan's land. You see that in verse 22. Why would he do that? Anybody know why? Because he wanted them to set their faces to say, this is not where I'm from. I am not from Egypt. I'm not from this world. I've been sent here by God. My heart is in heaven. One day I'll stand before the Lord. Having a perspective of eternity. Yes. Are you getting that? So important. All right, let me give you seven things, how to raise generational visionaries. Seven things. How to raise the raising of generational visionaries. Seven ways. One, first, you obey God. You obey God. You walk with God daily, day in, day out, obey God. And the truth is, if you don't, then you will see that marked and passed down to your children. You say, I don't have any children. Okay, well, you can pass it down to somebody. Somebody's paying attention. Somebody's watching. You're leading someone. The idea that you affect no more than yourself is a ridiculous idea. We all affect each other. Some of the idea that you can do whatever you want is just your life. It's not true. We all influence others. If you'll faithfully obey God, if you'll faithfully walk with God, he will pass down the blessing onto you and your family. And you say, well, my kids aren't serving God. Well, you serve God. What about my grandchildren? You serve God, grandma, grandpa. You serve God. Even if you didn't the first 40 years of your life, you do it now, and they will see, and you speak, and you talk about the blessings of God. You speak about the favor of God. And I'm going to tell you that God can bring an impartation to your grandkids. God can touch your kids. It's not too late. If you're breathing, go ahead and check your pulse right now. If you have a pulse right now, there's hope. Boast on what God has done for you to your children. Boast on what God has done for you to your children. Pass on your example of faith. Seven things were on number three or C. Pass on your example of faith. You said, what example? Exactly. What example? What example is that? My children have seen my wife and I empty our bank account. They've seen it over and over, and then they've watched God come through over and over and over and over and over and over and over. They've seen us pray, cry, travail, and seen God come through and again and again and again and again. They've seen Dad get up and go to morning prayer, and it was just me and Pastor Tim. And later, Minister Micah joined us. You remember, right? And there's a few others that would come, and we were grateful for them. Now there's 60, 80 people in morning prayer. And if you come, who knows what God will do. Pass on your example. You can't pass on faith. People have to develop their own faith. But you can, did you hear that? You can't pass on faith, but you can pass on your example of it that puts faith in their heart, and then they have to learn. It's good to put kids to the test. I remember my son said to me not long ago, we were moving in. He said, Dad, we have no sound system in the children's church. I said, dude, we're not buying you one, so you better pray in tongues or something, because you're on your own, bro. You can pray for that. He's like, what? We need that. I said, good, then pray, because we're not buying it. So you just, because I just didn't have faith for that. It wasn't important to me right then. I had faith for this sound system. So he starts fasting and praying. I don't even think it was 3 days. Brother in the church just responds and says, I've got this sound system. They got a $13,000 sound system up there. That thing thumps upstairs. Can I tell you something? That sound system up there, we're going to have to send the security and say, turn it down. That'd be a good problem. And soon we'll be up there. How did that happen? He prayed. He prayed. Teach your kids to contend. Don't just hand them everything. Well, I want a new guitar. Yeah, great, great. Pray. And don't be and you might be the answer to your own prayer. Some of you are so tight, you squeak. It's good to be generous. Can you say amen? But it's also, you can be super codependent and teach your kids that they just have to whine and then they get pizza. But it's good to be generous. Pass on your example. Pass on your example of faith. Listen to Hebrews 11, 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's boys and worshiped as they leaned on top of his staff. The act of faith and the blessing was an act of faith. Do you understand that? And I would say, speak a blessing over your children. Look at D, number 4. Speak a blessing. My wife lays hands on me and prays for me. And I lay hands on her and pray for her. And your other kids ought to see that too. Father, thank you for my wife. Oh, God. Here I'm like going to try to do some mock prayer and get totally wrecked by the Holy Ghost. I'm so grateful for you. I'd be in a pile somewhere. Thank you for Pastor Karen. Lord, bless her. We curse diabetes tonight. We agree right now for your power, your blessing to rest upon her. You'd heal her completely. Heal her wrists. Your carpal tunnel would go. You'd heal her body. Thank you for my wife. You pray for your husband like that? You pray for your wife like that? You lay hands on your kids? You still don't? Oh, they feel uncomfortable. Get over it. Make them get over it. Say, no. This is what we're doing. We're praying for you right now. I don't want prayer. Okay, well, you're getting it anyway. And then teach them to pray. Teach them to pray. I mean, that's not in there. Speak a blessing, but teach them to speak blessing. Teach them to bless their kids. Bless each other. Come on. I remember one of the most beautiful things I ever saw. Do we have Legos over here anywhere? There are Legos. Who's got Legos? Legos? Any Legos in the house? We had a family come to the church years ago, and they were so impacted by the power of the Holy Ghost that the kids went home and did a diorama of Legos of one of our altar calls. And I have it on my phone somewhere. It's on my Instagram account early on, years and years ago. And it's this Lego pastor who was supposed to be me and has no hair, it's bald, and is laying hands on somebody, and there's people lying out and like little drop cloths going on top of people and stuff. And it's this, they sent me a picture and said, look at this, our kids are playing church at home. And we've had stories where kids are at home and they stand in front of the beanbag chair and they're like, okay, it's your turn to fall out and my turn to pray. And then they come. But you know what ends up happening? Do you know what ends up happening? What ends up happening is it becomes real. Mocking, don't allow that. Don't allow mocking. But playing, I think, is okay. You should be careful it doesn't become mocking. Mocking's wrong. You let them do that, they'll mock the things of God and you curse yourself. So you let them sing and play worship in your house and speak life over them, speak blessing over them, and teach them to do the same thing. And they'll walk back and forth, and they'll be just tiny and little, be like, da-da-dee, do-do-do, da-da-dee, da-da-dee-da, da-da-da, na-na-na-na. Then a year goes by, and their language comes together a little bit, and they'll be like, majesties, worships his majesties, unto Jesus. A little while later, they start singing, majesty, worship his majesty, unto Jesus, be all glory, honor and praise, and the power of the Holy Ghost will fall on them. Have a house like that. Have a home like that. Listen to country music some other time. Fill your house with worship. Fill your house with the blessing. Fill your house with the presence. Teaches discernment. My house has been filled with worship forever. Since we made a house. Since we made a home before the kids. Hannah walking through the Fifth Avenue Mall. All she's heard basically is worship. She's growing up. She was homeschooled. Thank God for that. Then I'm pretty sure it was going to be World War III, so we decided to do something different with schooling. Works well. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to thank Jesus again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we walk past some, I don't know what it was. What store is that dark store? Hot Topics, exactly. I walk past the store. Look, you can think what you want. I'm just telling you my experience, my discernment. I walk past the store and I see a demon in the back. I see this skimpering thing. Like, ooh, Ramakaha. She goes, Dad, I want to go in there. I said, no, you're not going in there. She says, Dad, why not? I said, that is not a place you want to go. She says, I do want to go. And she was one of those, I want to go. You know, I don't know how old she was, 15, 16, I forget, 15. It's hard to be 15 and know everything. I said, okay, you want to go? Go ahead. And I just felt like, I'm going to let her go. I felt led to let her go. So I'm standing outside. She walks into Hot Topic. She walks in. She's like. And then she just comes right out. She goes, it's dark in there. I'm like, that's right. How did she know that? Because she's raised in an environment of blessing. She's raised in a place where the power of God's coming down. She's raised in a place that's steeped in prayer, soaked in prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer, lunchtime prayer. She soaks in the word, and she didn't even know that she's just traveling around in the presence of God until you get into the presence of darkness. Like, ooh, it taught her stuff. Come on, somebody say, speak blessing. Teach him the promises of God. The first thing that Jacob did, the first thing that Israel did is he told them the promise that was given to Abraham. He told them the promise that was given to Isaac. And he told them these two children, Ephraim and Manasseh, he told them. Israel, the promised land, Canaan's land, is an eternal possession of ours. And I'm giving you a portion there. Teach your kids the promises of God. They are the basis by which we pray. The promises of God are incredible power if you'll access them and declare them and speak them over your family, speak them over your marriage, speak them over your life, you single people, over your children, over your church. Let them know that God's purpose for them, I'm almost done, that God has a purpose for them, and believe with them that God's purpose will be fulfilled in their lives. Believe with them. I mean, we would say to our kids over and over, you're going to change the world. You're a world changer. I'd look my son in the face and I would tell him this. I'd tell him, you are a prince. You're a prince. You're royalty. And I'd make him say it when he was younger. And I know you've heard that. I can see it. You're royalty. God's got a plan, tremendous plan for you. And he knows it. That kid knows it. My son knows it. My daughter knows it. And anybody I come in contact with, if I get a moment, I'll say the same thing. You're royalty. You're chosen. You're a princess. You're a prince. You've got a, God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. You need to speak that over them and break the lie. Break the lie off of their lives and off of your own. It would say anything contrary to that. Lastly, promote and elevate them. Promote them.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.